A fisherman and his wife were blessed with two sons. They didn't name them right away. Instead, they waited till they were older, till they developed personalities. The fisherman would take his sons on the boat, and one thing that they noticed was that one son, while standing on the boat, no matter where you place him, would always face the ocean. So they named him Toward, T-O-W-A-R-D, Toward the ocean. The other son, no matter where you placed him on the boat, always turned around and faced the shoreline, away from the ocean. So they named him Away. As the family grew older, finally the fisherman said to his sons, "Let's go. This is a long trip for us. We're going to do some deep sea fishing. We'll be gone a few weeks." So they embarked on this fishing trip. Weeks went by, and the mother stood on the shoreline wondering where they were. And another week went by, where did they go? And finally, after a few more weeks, the boat appeared, and the father returned with the boat, docked it. The sons were gone. The mother said, "What happened to the boys?" And the father said, "One week into our fishing trip, Toward hooked a big one, and he fought it. For a week, he fought it without sleep until finally it pulled him overboard." The wife said, "Oh my goodness, you have to be kidding me." He goes, "Oh, that's nothing. You should see the one that got away." Wah, wah, wah. Okay, I'm going to read the text before I give you another one. Okay. Psalm 126 reads like this. "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion's, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us,' and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the waters in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." Do you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your Spirit today, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you. To maybe poke a rib at some of these, your followers. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There was another family who had four boys. The father sadly passed away, and the mother raised them all, saving a small fortune to send them off to college. And so one by one, as they returned home from college, these boys, deeply appreciative of what their mother had given them, decided to do something good for their mother. The first one returned home from college and built this massive house. Said, "Here, mother, live here." The second one returned home from college and said, "Well, mom's already got a house, so I'm going to take one of these rooms and kind of demo it. We're going to create a big, huge theater experience for you in this house." The third one returned home and says, "Okay, you got this house, you got a theater. Oh, a Mercedes. That's what you need. Yep, brand new Mercedes SL600 sitting in the driveway." And the fourth one was perplexed because, I mean, she's got a car, she's got a theater, she's got this big house. What could I possibly give her? So he thought and he thought and he thought and he researched and he researched and he researched. And then finally, he came across this unique opportunity. You see, he found this parrot. This parrot that, should you request a book, chapter, and verse, the parrot could recite it for you. The entire Bible, you see, about 20 years was spent investing into this parrot so it could do this thing for him. So he became a part of this church, invested $100,000 a year over 20 years, and he took this parrot home to his mother and says, "I give you this gift, Mom, because I know you love to read the Bible." She was beside herself. Well, it's helpful to know that the mother couldn't see very well, so she responded to the four boys like this. The first son the house. It's thank you, but it's big. I only live in one room. Not going to wander too far into any of these, but thank you. The second son said, the theater is great. However, all my friends are hard of hearing or can't see very well, or they've died. So I really don't use the theater at all either. And to the son that gave her the car, she said, my son, I do everything through Instacart and have it delivered. I have no use for a car, you see. And to the fourth child, she turned and said to her son, her last youngest born, she said, son, I want to thank you for being the most thoughtful, for understanding who I am and what I love. Thank you so much. That chicken was delicious. I like that one. Okay. Yeah. There are a lot of words that we use to describe God. Creator, omnipotent, Lord, all-knowing, victorious, wonderful, amazing. Don't we? We use all those words. But in any of our conversations, have we ever described God as, man, our God is funny? Have we? Not too often. We don't lean into the humor side of God. So that prompts the question, does God have a sense of humor? If so, what does that even mean? Because we might have this picture in our mind that pictures God as stoic, dignified, but rolling around giggling, what is that? I mean, even the Simpsons television show, the only character, by the way, in the Simpsons that has five fingers is God. Every other character only has four fingers. That's it. We are a people created in God's image, a people who connect deeply to joy and enjoy. There is brightness, lightheartedness. And these are the shouts and joy of joy and jubilation in Psalm 26. Acclamation into losing our breath because of the laughter. Who says our God can't be funny? In one word, I can tell you why God is funny. Platypus. What is that? Platypus. That's creativity. Colorful arrays of flowers. The blobfish. God shows a creative touch that crosses over into whimsy or even ridiculousness. That's the God that we believe in. And that God is playful in the Bible, too. No doubt from our Genesis reading when we hear God reply to Sarah, oh, yes, you did laugh, was probably not so much an accusation of truth as it was a comment like, oh, if you only knew what this child's going to do to you. Yep. The same look that our parents give us when we start having children. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Only you knew. Laughter has the power to move our lives forward. For Sarah, for example, it paved the way. Her son was born in her late age, and what did she name it? Isaac, which means he laughed. The name Isaac means he laughed. We, like the women at the tomb, like the disciples, like our namesake, Thomas, whose story in John's gospel is typically read on this Sunday after Easter, by the way, the doubting Thomas story, are caught between the tension of a story that is unbelievable and yet the one in which we ground our belief. It is good and right that we should laugh at the very idea of it. Not because we think it's stupid. No, not because of that. But because our laughter is the only way we can overcome our fear of what is true after all. Just like Sarah, Laughter allows us to breathe into the possibility for just a moment and experience the raw joy it presents. And in our laughter, God shows up with a chuckle and a nod that reminds us that with God, all things are possible. And we laugh again because it all seems too good to be true. The news of resurrection, the promise of eternal life and unmerited grace, it overwhelms us with joy and laughter, a deep, resounding laughter that ripples throughout our whole body. That joy is what leads us to praise and rejoicing, to worship, to a deeper love of God who created us and spun this whole crazy world into being. This morning, may we continue to laugh in hopes of catching on to some of that divine joy that still fills the empty tomb. God is still laughing, and that's good news. Amen. Amen. Amen.